And surely whenever we live that way, all things will work together for our good. Welcome everybody, those of you that are visiting. We're glad that you're here. We're thankful for each member that's here. We're glad we can be together, participate in this service and worship unto the true and the living God. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Tonight we plan to have our singing. Come back, be with us, and let us, before Jehovah, sing praises unto our God. Why do some Christians fall away? The Hebrew writer in chapter 5 has just talked about people who ought to be teachers, and yet they have to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God again. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He had just talked about these people. And now in chapter 6, he says, therefore, in view of what I've just said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Here are some things that the Hebrew writer talks about. It's being basic, ABC, so to speak. They're rather very elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. He said, therefore, I want you to do something. I want you to go on. Go on unto maturity. Go on unto perfection. And then the writer says, and that's what we'll do, if God permits. We'll do that. Why? That's what we want to do. But then notice what the Hebrew writer says. For it is impossible. Look at that word. Impossible. There are some things I can't possibly do. And here the Hebrew writer says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Who is he talking about? About Christians. Christians who have done what? The Bible says, who one time's enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who were made of the partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, they have grasped it, they've loved it, they cared for it, they walked in it. However, if they shall fall away, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, why? Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Leave the basics. Go on unto perfection. And don't fall away. And don't crucify afresh the Son of God. And don't put Him to an open shame by giving up, falling away, leaving the Lord. So many fall. We all do. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Get rid of the sins and he'll hear. Turn and find forgiveness and be forgiven and washed away. Then you're clean. And no wonder, Peter, what a wonderful disciple of the Lord. There's a great difference between falling and falling away. Falling away isn't just falling to some sin. It's actually departing from Jesus Himself, giving up on the Lord, turning one's back to Him. Listen in Proverbs 24, verse 16. A righteous man may fall 7 times and get up and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The difference is between a Peter and a Judas. If you depart from Jesus, there is no hope. Remember, Peter is with Jesus, but he's sitting out away from Him. Jesus is now being tried. There was a damsel that came unto Him saying, Thou also was with Jesus the Galilee. And Peter said, Yes, sir, I am one of the... He didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Somebody talks about the church, what would you say? You'll stand up, won't you? Somebody talk about Jesus, what are you going to say? I believe in that man. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of the disciple of the Lord and a disciple of the Lord. Why? Because you're not going to be like Peter. Peter says, he denied them before them all. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. You do so. Peter, what's wrong with you? Number two. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, What? This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Peter, what are you going to say? Again, he denied him with an oath. And he says, I do not know the man. Coming out of the mouth of who? Peter. A man that had walked on the water with Christ. A man that had already confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's enough, isn't it? No, let's listen one more time. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, because your speech bewraileth thee. That is, you speak like thee, he does. Now Peter does what? Surely Peter's going to say, You know I do know him. You know he is my Lord. He is my Savior. Peter, what are you going to do? Then began he to curse and to swear. Who? Peter. Saying, I know not the man. Boy, has he fallen. He just recently, just the other night, said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. I'll go with you to prison. I'll die with you. I'll do anything with you because I love you. You are mine. You are my Lord, my Savior. And now then, I don't know the man. And listen, the cock crew. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And what does Peter do? He goes out and he weeps bitterly. You see, friends, Peter failed Jesus, but he didn't fall away. He didn't turn his back on Him. Now he turns to Him in his tears. And just 3 days later, he's going to be looking into that grave that's empty. And he's going to be the one that Jesus says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, because he has confessed now that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I've done things I was so sorry for. Just weep bitterly. Why would I do that? How does it make us feel? The embarrassment? Pain, all because of some senseless thing that you do and you're ashamed of it. What do? You ask God to forgive you, just like with Peter. You don't turn away from God. You need Him. That's the very time you need to come and bow down before His great, the great I am, and say, God, I am the sinner. I am the one. I am guilty. Please forgive me. I failed you. My friends, just don't turn away from Jesus. That's just when you need to turn to Him. Our job is to get people then to turn back to Jesus. Not to continue to crucify the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. If we've made our mistake, we've made it. We admit it. We ask God to forgive us because we're turning to the one to whom we can find that forgiveness. I'm preaching to us all. My friend, are you lukewarm? A whole church was rebuked because it was lukewarm. How active are we? How zealous are we? In Revelation 3, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot, and God doesn't like that. Am I like that? Are you like that? Is this church like that? I know thy works, God says, but thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You give me your all, is what God is saying. Because thou sayest, I am rich. I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Will we hear that? This church at Laodicea. God then says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But will we? Will we listen? Will we hear? Paul writing to Titus, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Will people listen? God wants us to live right. When we don't do right, ask God to forgive us and start doing right. And yet, some turn away. Why? The very one that can save them, the very one that loves them, the one that died on the cross for them, is pleading for them to come to Him. And I'll give you rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Are we lukewarm? Yes, God wants us to be zealous. The church here has got to do everything it can to sound forth the word of the Lord. The gospel is God's power. It's to be spread throughout the whole world. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go preach the gospel. Tell men and women and boys and girls, the whole world, that Jesus is the answer. And we're standing with Him. And we're doing all we can to extend His glorious gospel, His invitation to all mankind. Be zealous. Good works. Are you selfish? I am sometimes. Why are we selfish? Why do we think of ourselves sometimes and not consider anybody else? And one of the company said unto Jesus one time, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Why? He's concerned about material things. What he wants. He wants his inheritance. And he says to Jesus, speak to my brother. Let's get this thing taken care of. And he said to him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I wish we could get that before all. Doesn't make any difference what you got. When you draw your last breath, you'll leave it all. Not a single thing will you carry with you except that which you've laid up for yourself in heaven. Jesus said, lay not for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust and corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust and corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there's where your heart be. There's where it is. Oh, it's wonderful. People doing various and good things for others. Not asking for anything. Oh, we need to do more. We don't do nearly enough, do we? Look at these beautiful flowers shared with us. Think of the people here in this congregation that are so anxious to do all they possibly can for anyone that is struggling and they want to be helped. Why? Because we don't want to be selfish. We want to share what we have with those who are in need. And Jesus said, remember this. Your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you have. And then he said something to them. He spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to sow my fruits? What am I going to do? I got all of this. I can't put it in these little barns. They won't even take care of it all. And then he said, I know what I'll do. This will I do. I'll pull down these barns and I'll build greater. Wow. Bring in the destroyer. The machine that'll tear it down. Build it up bigger. And there will I bestow all my fruits. And you're forgetting something. And my goods. All my what? All my fruits. All my goods. All my money. All is man, and I'll say then to my soul, Jesus said, soul, you've got a lot. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Wow. Boy, now you can just get in there and rest, and everything's going to be fine with you. You've got it made. But you forgot one thing. You forgot the problem of being so selfish. And you said, I've got it all. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry for many years. This is Jesus speaking. But God said unto him, you're a fool. What? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What? It's coming. It's coming when? It's coming tonight. What's going to happen tonight? You're going to leave the world. Oh, but what about all this stuff here? You're going to leave that too. You're not going to take anything with you. You didn't share with others. You were selfish. And now the question is, guess what? Whose will it be? It won't be yours. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. There it is. And is not rich toward God. Are you selfish? I am sometimes. Why? Just think about me. Oh, if we could just get out of that. And we could realize the joy, the tremendous joy of emptying ourselves, denying ourselves. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, do first. Deny yourself. Quit thinking about yourself. I had this one lady where I used to preach, and bless her heart, she'd had, I guess, 16 operations, and every time she'd come out to shake hands with me, and I'd say, how are you doing today? Called her name, and she'd start over those operations. So I learned real quick. I got to quit asking her how she is. Just say, hello, it's good to see you today. When people tell you something about their sickness, what's the first thing we usually do? Well, I've had that same thing. I've gone through that same experience. So often we just think so much about ourselves and not others. My friend, are you listening? Don't turn away from Christ by being selfish. Deny yourself. Think about others. Be thankful for what God has given us. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2. And don't think this old world and the goods in this old world are going to make up for anything when it comes to heaven. Let me tell you, Moses, by faith, when he was come to age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
What?
He refused. Why? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there's something out there, something's going to come, and he wanted that rather than the mundane things of this world. Thirdly and lastly, making Jesus our King, our Lord. Not turning away from Him, but turning to Him. But are we jealous? Jealous because somebody else has gotten something good that we didn't get. Jealous because of a position maybe that somebody else got that we didn't get. Jealousy is a rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Proverbs 6:34. The first child born to Adam and Eve was Cain. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. Wonderful. Cain, what you doing? I'm offering an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why? He didn't offer it by faith. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And Cain was wroth. He was angry. He was upset. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth or mad? And why is it thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God says, just straighten your life out. Do what I want you to do, and everything's going to be fine. But Cain was jealous of his brother. And the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And I don't know what they talked about. But I know what happened. It came to pass when they were out in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Why? He was jealous. Jealous of his brother. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You do know. Why are you lying about it? He said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Jealousy is the rage that leads men to turn away from God. The prodigal son's good example in Luke 15. The only way he ever got back was coming to himself and turning back. The Pharisees were religious people. They did a lot of things for show. In Matthew 23, it's a good chapter to deal with. They evangelized, but it was just to make one more proselyte. And when he made him twofold more the child of hell than themselves. They prayed impressively prayers that really were impressive. Matthew 23, verse 14. And the Bible says, for a pretense, they make long, long prayer. They made religious commitments. They tithed rigorously. They honored religious traditions. They fasted. And you look at them and you say, a religion that's what? A religion that is all out in the, just in the eye instead of the heart. Yes, Peter fell, but he didn't fall away. He got up. He did something about himself. The difference between them, between Peter and Judas, is the fact that Peter turned to and not away from Jesus. In Hebrews 6, it is impossible to get an individual who keeps crucifying the Son of God afresh, putting him to an open shame, to come to repentance. God said that. But when you get that individual to change, turn back to Jesus Christ, what will he do? He'll admit his sin. He'll be willing to do what God wants him to do. And he's ready to find the salvation. It's found in Jesus and in no other. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none under the name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Turn it away from Jesus. Just quit walking with Him. Giving Him up. I had a man one time that said, I am going to quit church. I am going to quit serving the Lord. I'm going to go out and get all the gusto I can. Gusto of this old life. Because I'm going to do it my way. You think you found the happiness and joy? Why is it so hard to reach people like that? Because they have actually, once again, would be in the crowd to crucify afresh the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Why do some Christians fall away? Quit. Turn from the Lord. Give up completely. No longer make any pretense of saying they want to serve the Lord. They don't. And they won't. Until they turn back to Jesus. So long as they stay in that condition, there's no way to get them back. But we want them back. And God wants them back. And Jesus wants them back. And Jesus says, come. And no wonder Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, and Paul said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to serve You. I am going to serve You faithfully because I'm not going to give up. How many of you know of friends that did come back? That did not give up, and that now gone on to meet the Lord in the air. Traveling over the country and preaching gospel meetings, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of people. Never will forget down Mississippi in a little congregation. I was holding a meeting, and there was a man that had gotten upset and all this kind of stuff as far as one of his neighbors were concerned. And when I was there and preaching, I went and I talked to him. And I told him, it's time now for you to get yourself right with God. It's time for all of us to do that. I'm saying to you this morning, join with me and let's serve God faithfully. Do His will to the end. It matters what, it matters not what we have to experience in this life. We're going to be servants of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be like Peter, other than the fact that when we sin like Peter, we'll admit it. Why not this morning? If you're in this assembly, you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. Now is the day of salvation. The cleansing of Jesus Christ through His blood for your sins and our sins. We want you to share in that. No one can have the joy and the hope of living with God forever who does not live in this life for Him to the end. Ah, if you're a child of God and you haven't been faithful, ask God to forgive you. How many times have I had to do that? How many times have you had to do it? Just confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Let's be children of God and stand up for Jesus Christ. Won't you come and obey Him while together we stand?